If you've got your Bibles, we're going to read the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. And this is a really, really key chapter in the book of Revelation. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's 18 verses. But to get the context of what we want to say today, we need to read it all, okay? Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Pay attention to that. That's where we're going to focus our attention today. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross, that Jesus would be the center stage here today. I pray, God, you give me a supernatural recall of the word. And we just pray, God, that somebody's life would be altered and transformed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before I get into the message, I want to say a couple of things to you, so that you'll know what's in my heart today. You have become, for me, my family. I love this church. I love our pastor and his wife. I love all of you. I love to be around you. I think you're a hoot. God is here, okay? But I'm going to challenge you today. And when I'm through with this message, you may hate me. And that's all right. I've been hated before. Because I'm going to preach these things because I want to see all Christians grow in Christ. I don't want you to stay the same. As I told my Sunday school class this morning, you cannot stay the same in the Christian life. You're either going forward or you're slipping backward. And you don't want to be that way. You want to go forward. As Paul said, I press forward in the high calling of Christ Jesus. You want to keep pressing on. And it takes effort, guys. It takes time. And the key to it all is keeping the Word of God before you. You need to have a time every day when you get into the Word of God. You got time for TV, amen? Now come on. You got time for TV. There was a church one time that had a visitation program on Thursday nights. And the pastor would give out prospect cards and they all go visiting in homes. And every month they would revisit people. And so he gave out these cards to revisit to this couple. And they went out to the house and they rang the doorbell. And the man came to the door and invited them in. And they sat down and they just shot the breeze a little bit. And then they started into inviting him and his family to church. And he says, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Somebody from the church has been to our house 9 Thursdays in a row. Thursday night is my favorite television night. If you will promise me that you will not come by on Thursday nights, I will be at church Sunday with my family. You and I live in a time of world crisis. Now, I guess you could call just about every generation a generation that's lived in crisis. There's been, I think somebody's figured out in Europe, there's been 990 wars since 500 AD. So we know it's a time of crisis in the world. But I want to challenge you because here's what I have seen in 61 years of ministry. I've seen a lot of people that confessed to be Christians and were born again, but they haven't grown not one inch since they got saved. They have stayed the same. Their lives have not been transformed by the power of Christ. They are good people for the most part. I've had encounters with a few through the years. I don't like to confront people, but I don't hesitate about it if the Lord's leading that way. In your life, you need to be growing in Christ. And the way you do that is through the Word of God and prayer. So here's my challenge. I want you to listen to what I have to say to you today. And if I say something you don't like, so be it. I was pastor of the First Christian Church in Barrie, Illinois, at the same time that I pastored First Baptist Church in Plainville. There was a time in years ago, back in the early 80s, when the Christian church in Barrie was dying and the Baptist church in Barrie was dying. So they formed what they called the Yoke Fellowship. And they had a joint board and they had a Yoke Fellowship budget and they pooled things together and they were able to call a pastor. So I was on the radio station for 4 hours up in Hannibal on Sunday mornings from 6 to 10 playing gospel music. So I had a big listening audience down there in Barrie. And one day, a guy named Mr. Strubinger called me and said, Mike, would you come down and supply for us at the Yoke? And I said, sure, I would. So I drive over there every Sunday after I got off the air. I guess I supplied form 4 or 5 weeks, and finally the pulpit committee came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in being a pastor. And I said, let me talk to Karen, let's pray about it. And we did, and we accepted the call to pastor the church. The Christian church was, how do I want to put this? It wasn't exactly a liberal church, but it was dead. And one Sunday, I said this, and if you're offended at what I'm going to say, you need to check out history, okay? I have Roman Catholic friends. I respect the Roman Catholic Church for many things that it has done through the years. But it is a corrupt, apostate organization. And through the centuries, hundreds of millions of people have been physically killed by the Roman Catholic Church. You want to study something? Get into the religious wars of the 1400s, 1500s, and 1600s in Europe. There was a group called the Waldenses. They believed the Bible. They didn't believe in infant baptism. And the Pope organized an army, and that army went into the area of southern France, where most of southern France was Waldens. And they went into that area, and they went from village to village and town to town, and they killed everybody that they could. Children, they ripped open the stomachs of pregnant women and killed the babies. And I said this from the pulpit at First Christian Church. I got a call from one of the elders that afternoon who said, can we meet? That what you said about the Roman Catholic Church has offended some of the people in our church. I said, sure, I'll meet with you. And we met that evening. And they said, we don't think it was right to say that. And I said, okay, let me ask you this. Was it true? And one of the guys said, well, we don't know. I said, what do you think the Reformation was about? What do you think the Waldenses were about? And other religious groups who departed from the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and we got back to the Bible. Now here's what I'm going to say to you. For 1,000 years, the Bible-believing Christians have believed that the whore in Revelation 17 is the Roman Catholic Church, and that the Roman Catholic Church is the core group of people that the false church is going to develop in the time of the Antichrist. Okay? Now, anybody get offended by me saying that? I mean, come talk to me after the service is over. I'd be happy to talk to you. The system of a great worldwide church is in existence today. It's just in its embryonic stage, and every year it just gets stronger and stronger. And it started with the movement back in the 60s of all the churches getting together, you know. And the system is already at work today. All around the world, there is a great move underway to bring all religious groups under one central umbrella. It's going on right now. We are witnessing the great falling away, which the Bible says will come about in the last days. Now, the church today falls far short of being a Bible church. And folks, listen, it was true of the First Baptist Church in Plainville. It was true of the First Christian Church in Barrie. It's true of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. It's true of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. It's true of Joel Osteen's church. It's true of most of the churches in America today. And I can prove it from the Bible. Jesus said to go into the whole world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And he didn't say it just to pastors and preachers. That is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment to believers to be witnesses of the love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for our sins, who rose again on the third day, and today, where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Now, let me show you something. There's actually room right now for all of us to lay down and take a nap here. Look around you. What do you see? Empty pews. Why is that? Why is it in the first century, on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came and thousands of people were saved? And a little bit later, more thousands were saved. What brought it about? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you get the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing you do is humble yourself before God, confess your sin, and listen, let me tell you, there's not one person here in this building today, including this preacher, that hasn't got sin to confess. You understand that? You may not be a drunkard. You may not rob banks for a living. But you may have hate in your heart. You may have bitterness. You may be depressed. Now listen, let me say something right here. I don't say anything about people who are on medication for depression, because there is a clinical depression. But there's another kind of depression that's not clinical. And that's in the heart of the believer is disobedience to God, which brings depression, defeat, bitterness, disappointment. So I say to you today that God wants to do a work in all of our hearts and in every church. And as I said this morning again in my Sunday school class, America's problems may seem to be political, but they're really not. America's problems are with the church. Man, it used to be that the preachers in America would stand in that pulpit and fire would come out of their mouths. So much that people would break down in the service and begin to cry and weep and fall on their face, come to the altar, get saved. Christians getting their hearts right with God. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit was present. Let me give you some quick facts about this false end time religion that is developing even as we speak here today. The Bible uses the terminology of a woman, so that's what I'm going to use. First of all, her popularity, her worldwide influence of great power and wealth. And when you will reject the truth, now listen to me, guys, when you reject the truth, you're going to be sucked in to a lie. And that's what's happening in our churches today. There are things happening in our churches today that the people that are doing it think it's the will of God, and this is a great thing because it brings in the people. There has not ever been one person come to faith in Christ by entertainment. Not one. And there is a false religion developing that at the appropriate time in prophetic scripture are going to come together in this end time church. Her perversion. Listen to how the Bible describes her. She's described as a whore. Now, I've never met a woman yet that would appreciate it if you called her a whore. It's a terrible name. But that's the way God described her. No woman wants to be called that, but it really aptly describes this woman in Scripture. She will use her charms to deceive the world into thinking that she's the right way to go. Third thing, her power. This church is upheld by the power of the beast, the Antichrist. Her headquarters will be in Rome. Now, there are people today teaching that it's not Rome that's being described here. Baloney. It's Rome. Her headquarters is there. The church will once again become wedded to the state that happened when Constantine became the emperor of the Roman Empire in 323 AD. And he wanted to bring the empire together. And he felt that one of the ways he could do this is by having one religion. And so he bribed the priests of these false religions. He gave them gold coins. He had 500 Bibles, I think it was, printed up and distributed to the different churches. They didn't come into the church by the new birth, by salvation. They were bribed to become a member of the church. And that joint togetherness of the church and state went throughout 1,000 years. More than 1,000 years. In which there was one church and it controlled the state. And the state did what the church said. How many kings were threatened by the Pope to have their kingdom taken away from them if they didn't shape up? Check it out. Her power. Christianity began to change when Constantine came to the throne. A lot of things began to be done in the church that there's no scriptural evidence for. Infant baptism. Baptismal regeneration, becoming a Christian and being saved just by being baptized. These are things that happen. Now, the next thing I want to tell you about is the members of this church. Is the end time church only made up of members of the Roman Catholic Church? No. What's going to happen is that Catholicism is definitely involved, no question about it. But in that false church, you're going to find Methodists, you're going to find Lutherans, you're going to find Presbyterians, you're going to find Muslims, you're going to find Buddhists, you're going to find Wiccans, you're going to find Druids, you're going to find New Agers, you're going to find Pentecostals, you're going to find Native American shamans, Far Eastern meditation, and Baptists, representatives of every apostate faith in the world. Now let me say something to you. The problem in the church today is that we have left our first love. You say, Mike, you can't say that. I love Jesus. Well, are you obedient to Christ? It's not what you say, but what you are. I want to tell you a story. Years ago, I was a young man, probably 25 years old. I was asked to come up to a church in Iowa to lead the singing for a revival. The evangelist from Texas was Rick Engel. Real good friend of mine. The pastor, they had meals set up every day in the people's homes. And the pastor, as we're driving to this home for lunch, said to Rick and I, now I want to warn you, this is a very poor family. He is disabled in a wheelchair. He got hurt at work and is on disability. They have a couple of children. Their house doesn't have a floor. Their house is a dirt floor. They have chickens running all through the house. They have dogs. They have cats. But they're the most wonderful people that you'll ever meet. He said, I just want to warn you. So we get there, park out on the street, and it's probably at least to the back doors from the street to their front door. Wasn't a screen on the door. One of these screens on the windows. There were chickens running everywhere. Dogs and cats, poop all over the place. So we walked up, knocked on the door, and she came to the door. She had the biggest smile on her face. Oh, come on in. We're ready for you. Just about got the meal done. Be a few minutes. Come on in and talk to my husband. So we went in there, and there was a rooster sitting up in the wind above the sink. He looked contented. There's a couple of dogs laying somewhere, and I think about 6-7 cats were in there. A couple of chickens running around. So we sat and talked to the husband. He's a wonderful man. We went to eat the meal, and she had fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, salad, I think, tea, pie. But the house smelled so bad, I had to force myself to eat the meal. But I covenanted in my inner heart that I was not going to in any way embarrass her because I appreciated what they did because they actually sacrificed to prepare this meal. And so I ate the mashed potatoes and gravy. And when we got ready to leave, she came up And she hugged Rick and I and says, "Oh, thank you for coming by." Because we had prayer with them before we left. And oh my, we held hands and it was just glorious. Now here's a family that didn't have anything except their love for Jesus. And they were outward about it. People knew that they were Christians. And they told people about what Christ had done for them. Now I'm going to say something. And as God is my witness, this is the truth. If you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and confess to be a follower of His, and you're telling me that you have been saved and God has changed His life, your life, because of the cross and the resurrection, and you're not telling anybody about it, you have lost your first love. Now, that's tough, and I don't like to say it, but it's time that the church faced up to itself. The scripture says, "Let judgment begin at the house of the Lord." Now, I'm going to shut up now, but I'm going to challenge you. Get serious with God. Get serious with God. Stop pretending that everything's right in your life. Stop pretending that you can do whatever you want in your life and still be close to the Lord. Be disobedient to Him and think that everything's right between you and God. The reason so many Christians today are depressed, defeated, discouraged, listen to this, physically ill, is because of disobedience to God. And here's my challenge to you today. You see this pew here in this pew? Used to be in our churches in America, that was the place to die. That's where you came. You got things right with God. Now the altars are empty. They should not be empty, my friend. We should all be brokenhearted. It's time to get things right. It's time for things to get right in my life, your life. Listen to this. If in your life as a human being, you're messed up, you're bitter, you're full of hate, you're discouraged, and all of that happening, your home is going to be that way. Guarantee you. And if your home is that way, and you have a church that you go to, you're pretty well, along with others, going to make the church that way. And if the church is that way, and this church, and that church, and that church, and that church, the community is going to be messed up. You see where I'm going? And if the community is messed up, the state's messed up. And if the state's messed up, the nation's messed up. See where I'm going? It's time to be honest with God and ourselves. Here's what I'm going to do. This altar is open. I challenge you to come to this altar. Get serious with God. But let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, one day you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not for our salvation, but for our rewards based upon the things that we have done in the flesh here on the earth. All of your works are going to be thrown on the fire. The wood, hay, and stubble burn up. The things that Jesus is going to reward you with is the silver and gold and the precious stones that are left. Some Christians are going to have everything burn up because they lived for themselves instead of for God. They're going to be in heaven, but they're going to be ashamed, the scripture says, when they come before Christ at His judgment of believers. Let's be honest today. I'm asking you to get up out of your seat and find a place here at this altar, either on your knees or sitting down or up here, wherever it is, find a place and confess our sins. Get it right with God. And I have to tell you, I don't like preaching sermons like this, but oh, the things are serious, my friend. They are serious. And I want the power of God in my life. Do you? I want the power in my life so that the power of the Holy Spirit helps me overcome my fear of sharing Christ with others. My reluctance. All that is the work of Satan in your life. and we want to reject him, we need to be excited about Christ. Amen? Excited about what Jesus is doing. Father God, you look down from heaven. Your Son looks down from heaven from the throne. The Holy Spirit is here. And I ask you, God, to help us today. Help us to become obedient to you. And I pray you'll bless these dear folks. Everyone that's here, God. I pray, God, that you will clean up our lives. Make us usable vessels for the message of the gospel, which is what the world needs today. Oh God, help us, oh God, when we pretend that everything's right. And we're just going to give you the praise, the honor, and glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.